Our passage this morning is Ephesians chapter 5, verses 15 through 21. Look carefully then how you walk, not as unwise, but as wise, making the best use of the time, because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. And do not get drunk with wine, for that is debauchery, but be filled with the Spirit, addressing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody to the Lord with your heart, giving thanks always and for everything to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting to one another out of reverence for Christ. Father, we're here to worship you this morning, to give you all praise and glory, and to submit ourselves to Jesus, our King. And we pray this morning that you would use your word to conform us more into the image of Christ and to help us consider how we can make the best use of our time. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Have a seat. Becoming a citizen of another country requires a process. And every country has a different process and different qualifications and standards and practices that you have to go through to become a citizen. You have to learn how to live according to the values and the principles, what responsibilities you have as the citizen of this new country. What laws are part of this new country? Well, the same is true when someone becomes a Christian. When you trusted in Christ, if you have trusted in Christ for the forgiveness of your sins through his death on the cross, his burial, and then his resurrection, you've been forgiven, you've been redeemed, you've been adopted in, but you've been made a citizen of God's kingdom. And with that transfer into the kingdom, you are no longer part of the darkness, the old kingdom of which you walk. This is what Paul says in Ephesians 5. You at one time were darkness, but now you are the light of the Lord. Walk as children of light. What he's saying is walk as a citizen of God's kingdom, living out the values and the principles and the priorities and the responsibilities that come as being part of God's kingdom. That's what we've been talking about. We started with the reality that we are part of God's kingdom, and yet we still live in this world. And so we have to remember who we are. We identified we talked about our identity as citizens of God's kingdom, as in Christ. And that's our primary identity, to live that way, to remember who we are. And then now, as who we are, how do we live out our lives as part of this kingdom that we're a part of? Last week, we learned one of the most beautiful values of the kingdom of God, and that is the value of generosity, is giving of our finances cheerfully and generously. Why? Because God is a generous giver himself. He gave us himself. He gave us his son, the Lord Jesus. Jesus became poor so that we would be rich, meaning that we would be made right in God's sight, justified before him, and given new life with God, to live with him forever and ever. Oh, the generosity of God. And so part of being a citizen of God's kingdom is we reflect his character, and we too have the opportunity to be cheerful and generous givers of our finances. So we'll continue to learn about what it means to live in the kingdom of God. And we're talking about time, how we view time, how we spend time, how we invest time, or perhaps maybe how we waste time even. I think one of the most common responses to the question, how are you doing in our world today, is I'm busy, which is not really the question that you're asking. But isn't that often the response? How are you doing? Oh, I'm busy. And we all feel that at times, don't we? We feel busy. That's just a part of the world in which we live. But we have to ask ourselves, we have to stop and ask ourselves, how am I spending my time? Am I spending my time well? Am I investing my time well? What are the principles that are guiding how I make those decisions about how to spend my time? Now, if you want to do some real deep diving in this, you can go and buy book after book after book and system after system after system that will tell you exactly how to be the most effective at using your time. One of the books that I've read, and it was helpful to me, was a book called Getting Things Done. You can guess what it's about. How to get more stuff done. That's all. Here's how to get more things done. Of course, the problem is the more you get done, then people notice and they give you more things to do. And you just continue in the same problem. We live in a world that so values just getting things done. But how do we know we're getting the right things done? How do we know we're spending our time as King Jesus asks us to spend our time? This is one of the concerns that Paul has for the church in Ephesus and for us as well. He wants them to be grounded in who they are in Christ, their identity in Christ, but then live out in the world, but part of God's kingdom. And part of that is how they spend their time, what they invest themselves in each day. And so he takes this little moment in these few verses to challenge them, to call them first to make the best use of their time. And then he tells them how they can do that, the principles and the power that will guide the making the best use of the time. And that is to walk in wisdom and to be filled with the Holy Spirit. But first, look at verse 16. He says, making the best use of the time because the days are evil. There was a moment in my life that I had a lot on my plate. We've got five kids, so that's always true. But this was like an extra crazy season. So much going on in the ministry that I was leading. So many people to take care of, a mission to accomplish, family. It just felt like I could not get above water. I couldn't accomplish everything that now I put it on my plate. I was in charge of that. Nobody was telling me what to do. I made those decisions and I just felt like I was underwater. And I just didn't have enough time to get it all done. And I think everything that I was doing were good things. They were for the kingdom, for my family. And yet I felt swamped. So I had this older gentleman in my life. He was a well-respected and a successful business leader. And I said, I don't have enough time to get all of this done. What am I supposed to do? And in a very gentle yet firm response, he said, Jeff, you have the same amount of time as everyone else. You aren't using your time well. Ouch. He was right. I was not making the best use of my time. I was just piling things on. And I was at the end. I did not listen to what Paul says here to make the best use of the time. And when he says that, he's not just saying be more efficient so you can get more things done. No, he's saying something much deeper. Some translations make that phrase and they say making the most of every opportunity. Now, if you took it literally, it would be to redeem the time, to purchase or to buy back the time. Now, the reason that the translations we have don't say redeem the time is because there's not really a way to buy the time. So that's not really what Paul is saying, is actually you can't go back and buy the time or you can't buy future time. What you're doing is you're looking at what is right in front of us and we're trying to make the best use of it, make the most of that opportunity, taking advantage of every opportunity given to us so that we can serve the Lord faithfully. Time is one of the things that we can't make more of. Once it's spent, we don't get a do-over. So we need to make the best use of the time we're given. Money can grow. Many of you invest your money. You save so that, Lord willing, it will grow so that you can be more generous and you can provide for your family, maybe for generations even to come. But time doesn't grow like that. There's no compound interest with time. Time comes and goes. And every parent knows this. Every parent, what's the thing that people tell parents of new kids? Don't blink. It's going to be over before you know it. Well, it's about to be that time for our oldest. In 2 weeks is going to college. Pray for us. We're excited for her, but it's going to be hard to see her go. And it's true. I wish I could go back and relive some of those moments when she was 6 years old. But I can't. That time is gone. All I have is this moment right now. And I'm not guaranteed tomorrow. And so all the time I have is what's right in front of me. We can't live in the past and we can't live in the future. The psalmist says in Psalm 90, verse 12, he asked the Lord to teach us to number our days so that we may have a heart of wisdom. James says, come now, you who say today or tomorrow we will go into such and such a town and spend a year there and trade and make a profit. Yet you do not know what tomorrow will bring. Or Proverbs 27, verse 1, do not boast about tomorrow, for you do not know what a day may bring. We don't know what the future will bring. We can't live in the past and we can't live in the future. But what we can do is listen to what Paul says and make the best use of the time I have today. Now, how do we know that we're making the best use of the time? I wish there was a little asterisk on that and you flip back to the appendix and Paul just listed out every activity that was the best use and a poor use of your time. But he doesn't do that. He doesn't give us the list. And we have to make these decisions all the time. Should I go to the movie or should I spend time visiting someone from church? For me, should I go play some sport or should I spend time praying for my brothers and sisters at BCF? With my kids, should I say yes to that sporting event or that activity that will take us away for the weekend or say no to be at church on Sunday? Should I take the week of vacation or should I use it to go on a mission trip instead? Should I say yes to leading the ministry opportunity that I heard about or should I keep that night free and stay home and relax? It would be wonderful if God told us all the answers to all these questions we all have. What do I do? What is the best use of my time? But we don't have that list. What we have are the instructions to make the best use of the time. And that means that it's possible, even likely, that we may not make the best use of the time. And why is that? Well, Paul tells us right in verse 16, because the days are evil. It's a warning. It's a warning to us that the days are evil. If we don't make the best use of the time, that it is very possible that the evil days, our sinful flesh, the world and the lies of the evil one will begin creeping back into our lives, back into our decision making. And we'll be spending time making those decisions based on the world's values, the principles of the world, instead of the principles that God has laid out in his word. The values of the evil days, the world, the flesh and the devil are all self-focused and self-pleasing. And if we're not careful, we can fall into the trap of using our time purely for selfish pursuits instead of reflecting on the character of God and how we can invest our time to fulfill his purposes for his glory, the blessing of his people and for our joy. See, the world says you have a right to live how you want to live. But when we trusted in Christ, we gave up our rights and we submitted to the King and we said, your will be done in my life. My life is not my own. I've been bought with a price. You now control my life. You tell me how I spend my time. The days are evil. For me, one of the easiest ways I can see this start to happen in my own life is if I check the screen time hours on my phone. It's a scary thing to do, to hit and see how many hours sometimes that I spend on my phone. It's just a chance for me to escape and just fulfill the desires of my flesh in some way. There's a danger of the evil days. That's perfect timing, right? That's the Holy Spirit. We did not plan that. It's okay. It happens. See, the danger of the evil days is that we can find ourselves being pulled farther and farther away from the Lord, not only not making the best use of the time, but not even spending much time at all investing in the things of the Lord. If you doubt that, this is exactly what happens to the church in Ephesus. Paul tells them, make the best use of the time because the days are evil. And do you remember the letter that was written to the church in Revelation chapter 3? The Lord says to the church in Ephesus, but I have this against you, that you have abandoned the love you had at first. They abandoned their love for God. They were not careful to make the best use of the time. And perhaps, like Demas in 2 Timothy chapter 4, Demas, who is in love with the present world, walked away from Paul. It's that the days are evil. There are significant implications with how we spend our time. Because how we spend our time or invest our time is both, one, an act of obedience to the king. It says, you're the king, you're in charge, you tell me how to live my life. And it's an indication of what we value the most. The heart wants what the heart wants. And our flesh wants what the flesh wants. I want to just please myself. But as we fight to focus on the Lord and be with the Lord and spend time with the Lord and be in fellowship, then the heart is changed by God to want what He wants. And we battle against the evil of the day. You've heard it said, if you want to see what a person really loves, what they value, what are the priorities in their life, look at their checkbook and see what they spend money on. Well, the same is true with our time. Look at how we spend our time, and we get to see by the Lord's kindness what things we value more than maybe we value Him. Make the best use of the time because the days are evil. Now, I hope as you're thinking about this, you're starting to feel a little tension in your life. Wondering, so what does that really mean? Do I have to be on all the time? Is my entire life always have to be done in ministry in some way? Can I ever sit and rest? Can I ever do something fun and enjoyable just for myself? I hope you're feeling this kind of tension because there is an urgency in the need for the gospel to go to all nations. There's an urgency to use our gifts to build up the body of Christ. There's an urgency in caring for the poor, in fighting for injustice, to care for the orphans and the widows, and just keep the list going. There's an urgency in this. And yet, aren't we allowed to rest too? Aren't we allowed to enjoy some of the good things that God has given us? The answer is yes, there is an urgency. And yes, we can rest. We can enjoy God's good gifts. God rested on the seventh day. Jesus took a good nap on a boat. When the disciples thought Jesus was too busy, he said, no, I have time for kids. I'm going to hang out with children and enjoy them. God is the one in the Old Testament. He calls all these festivals and these feasts where the people would gather together and just celebrate God's goodness to them, to remember what He had done. They take time off to just be together and to worship the Lord and enjoy the pleasures that God has given them. There is a tension in how we spend our time and what it means for you to make the best use of your time. And I hope you feel the tension, because if you feel the tension, then I think you're in a good place. You're in a good place to seek the Lord and to get help from brothers and sisters to make decisions about how do I balance the urgency of the day and the things that God has put before us, and yet enjoying the good gifts from God. There's a tension, but God gives us principles. He gives us help to make these kinds of decisions because we're not people that live in guilt or shame. That's not the mark of a Christian. We've been adopted into God's family. We're His children. There is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. God has removed your sins as far as the east is from the west. And when you sin again and confess and repent, He is faithful and just to forgive you over and over and over again. There's freedom in Christ. This is not a call to enslavement. This is freedom to be able to make the best use of our time for the glory of God, the building of His kingdom, and for my enjoyment. So how do we do that? How do we make these decisions of what is the best use of our time? Well, Paul gives us two principles here. One, to walk in wisdom. And then two, to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Walk in wisdom. We have to make decisions about our time constantly, don't we? Our youngest just went to the dentist. And you know what happens when you're done with the dental appointment. As they say, let's schedule your next appointment in 6 months. Now, some of you are like, no problem. I got the calendar laid out. Others of you panicked. I have no idea what is happening in 6 months. Thankfully, I have a wife that is that planner. And I can look at her calendar and go, hey, this might work. But she'll call you later and fix my problem, my mistake. Right now, I understand why the dentist does that. There's no issue there, right? But we're constantly having to make decisions about what we're going to invest our time in. We have to do it all the time. Think about when you leave church today, you've got lots of decisions to make. Where are you going to eat, or what are you going to eat for lunch? Are you going to take a nap or not? Some of you can't wait. Don't start yet. Don't start yet. For the youth, are you going to attend youth group? Are you going to do the laundry? Are you going to watch the Olympics? You're going to go to community group tonight? What are you going to do? Are you going to go visit family? You have so many decisions to make. And how do we know that we're making the right decision to make the best use of our time? Not only today, but Lord willing, if we are around in 6 months, how do we know we're making the best use of the time? Well, Paul tells us in verse 15 and in verse 17. Verse 15, look carefully then how you walk, not as unwise, but as wise. Therefore, do not be foolish in verse 17, but understand what the will of the Lord is. And when Paul says to look carefully how you walk, he means look carefully how you live your life. Look carefully. I think he's thinking back to verse 1 of chapter 5 when he says to the church, therefore, be imitators of God as beloved children and walk in love as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us, a fragrant offering and a sacrifice to God. Be imitators of God. Look carefully. Look to God and imitate him in how he lives his life. What is his character? What is on his heart? That's the beginning, I think, of what Paul is saying is wisdom. After verse 1 in chapter 5, Paul begins to list out some of the sins and the characteristics of the evil days. And he's warning the church, don't let these be a part of your life. Walk in wisdom. Look carefully how you walk. Be imitators of God, not imitators of the evil days. And there's a focus in this of walking in love and in righteousness. These things that Paul lists out in chapter 5, starting there in verse 3, are pleasures of the flesh. It's what he would describe here, I think, in verse 17 as foolish. Just pleasing yourself instead of pleasing God. And then Paul ends this passage we read with these encouragements to address one another, to submit to one another, to give thanks to the Lord. So in the first part of 5, it's all the pleasures of the flesh, fulfilling my desires. The end, walking in wisdom, is thinking about other people, addressing other people with the word of God, singing songs. When we worship, it's not just me to worship. You're encouraging the brothers and sisters in Christ that we're to give thanks to God for everything and that we submit to one another. We serve each other. You see the difference? Walking in wisdom is not just pleasing myself, but it's finding ways to serve and bless others as God has blessed me. Wisdom, I think, in this context is being like God in love and in righteousness, in holiness, worshiping him, being thankful to him, and serving our fellow brothers and sisters in Christ. It's not necessarily knowing exactly what to do in every moment. but it's having that guiding principle of imitating God, reflecting His character, that will help us know how to make the best use of the time. One commentator said, "The call to live wisely is not a call for theoretical knowledge. It's a call for moral discernment." It's a call for moral discernment. Paul says, "Don't be foolish. The days are evil. Think about God. Know God. Imitate God. And therefore be walking in wisdom." This is, I think, what Paul says in verse 17, what the will of the Lord is. You want to know the will of God? Read the scriptures. He tells us over and over what His will is. Here, the will of God is to imitate Him. It's to walk in wisdom, which is the priority. It's the marker of how we know we're making the best use of the time. So perhaps a couple questions would help you, as they've helped me when I think about deciding what to do with my time. I should ask myself first, is how I'm about to spend my time, or how I am spending my time, is it helping me to walk in righteousness? Is it helping me to live in purity as God is pure? And then second, I ask myself, is how I'm spending my time helping me to love the Lord with all my heart, my soul, my mind? And does it help me love my neighbor as myself? It's the two questions that I think we could ask. Is it helping me be righteous? And is it helping me to love God and love others? See, a fool lives as if God doesn't exist, has no authority in their life, and does whatever he wants. The wise makes the best use of their time because they imitate God. They submit to God in righteousness and in love. So how do we make the best use of our time? We need to walk in wisdom. We need to walk in wisdom. We need to ask God to give us wisdom and then imitate Him. But still, it's difficult. It's difficult to know how to make the best use of the time. The flesh is still strong. The lure of the evil days can be powerful. And some days we're just tired, aren't we? We're just tired. And I just want to do nothing. I just want to sit. I'm not sure what to do. Well, thankfully, we can walk in wisdom. God will give us wisdom as we seek Him and His Word. But He also gives us the power to make decisions that will be the best use of our time. Verse 18. "And do not get drunk with wine, for that is debauchery, but be filled with the Spirit." We walk wisely. We make the best use of our time, not by trusting in our own power of self-control or our own ability at self-discipline, but by being filled with the Holy Spirit. Paul uses this picture of being drunk compared to being filled with the Spirit because it's about being under control. What or who is controlling you? In a way, this drunkenness is a representation of being under control of the evil days, spending time only to please themselves. But if we're going to make the best use of our time, the moment that God has for us today, then we can be controlled by God Himself, His Spirit, who dwells within us. How are we filled with the Holy Spirit? Well, we repent of the sin of controlling our own life, or seeking to control our own life, and then asking God to fill you with His Spirit, to take over once again control of your life. Jesus is always on the throne, but sometimes practically we fight Him for that position. And it's to say, God, You are the one that is on the throne. I submit to You. Fill me by Your Spirit and give me wisdom in helping me say yes to the right things and no to the wrong things. We simply ask Him to fill us. And we know if we ask Him of anything that He's commanded us, anything that's according to His will, then He will say yes. It's according to His will. So ask Him to fill you. Walk in wisdom. Ask Him to fill you with His Spirit. Now, that does not mean we're going to have perfect clarity on how to spend every hour of the day. You still have to decide this afternoon, what are you going to do? You still have to make a decision. Even though you've sought wisdom and you've asked to be filled with the Spirit, at some point we need to live by faith. And we need to trust that God is going to work in our decisions. He's going to work in our decisions. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. So yes, we walk in wisdom. We seek to imitate him. We seek to live our lives, to serve others, to find the time to rest and refresh so that we can be used by God again and again. We ask to be filled with the Spirit, and then we just make decisions. And we trust that God is leading us to make the best use of the time. There's no appendix. There's no list to tell you. Now, there's certain things that are easy to say no to, unrighteousness. But other things that are good, there's many options. What do you do? One of my favorite quotes is attributed to Augustine, or Augustine, depending on who you are and how you pronounce his name. But he said, love God and do what you will. Love God and do what you will. Now, it's important that it's in that order, isn't it? He didn't say do what you will and try to love God. No, love God. And then do what you will. And I think he's right. If we love God, if we're paying careful attention to who God is, to walk in wisdom, to imitate him, to try to display his character, knowing his heart and his values that will drive us by his priorities, and being filled by him, then we can trust that our decisions will be making the best use of the time. We don't need to stress over it. We don't need to stress. We don't need to feel guilty if we make a mistake. We confess, repent, and we try again. No more shame or guilt. But we rest in the King who's leading us by his Spirit to make the best use of the time. We can't live in the past, and we're not guaranteed tomorrow. And so Paul says, today, make the best use of the time. That's our call as citizens of the kingdom of God. We've been redeemed by Christ. We've been redeemed by Christ. And so now, with wisdom and in the power of the Holy Spirit, we can redeem the time. We can make the best use of the time, knowing that in the end, God will receive great glory, that he will use us for his purposes to build his kingdom, and that we'll find such pleasure and joy as we make the best use of our time. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word. No matter how difficult it is to have to think about how we spend our time is not our own. It's a gift from you. We've been bought with a price. Our life is hidden in Christ. Jesus is the King, and we submit to him. And you say, make the best use of our time. And so we want to be faithful to you, but we need your help desperately to know what it looks like for us to make the best use of the time you've given us today. So, Father, we ask that you give us wisdom. We ask that you fill us with your Holy Spirit so that we could live by faith, trusting that the decisions we make with how to invest our time will bring you glory, will build your kingdom, and will produce in us joy that we've never experienced before. Thank you that you will help us to make the best use of the time. We pray it in Christ's name. Amen.